Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Harrington joins me now on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone line. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I Don't Know What You Got, But It's Got Me by Richard Penniman, a.k.a. Little Richard, the late Little Richard. Born on this day in 1932. The one great Little Richard song that does not sound like the other great Little Richard songs.
All right, you were at the Grizzlies game Friday, and I thought you wrote a particularly wonderful summation of it over at the Daily Memphian, but it sounds like it was quite a night. Good, perfect. You got to see great Embiid, and then you got to see Ja and the Grizzlies winning.
Yeah, the game gave me a lot to work with, so I had that going for me. I thought that was one of the better games this season. Home games I consider differently. I mean, obviously, if you're a fan, you don't go to the games. You're watching all of them from home. Maybe there's not that big difference with home and road. But in terms of home games, I thought that was one of the better home games this season in terms of just total entertainment value and quality. And so you got, two of the best and more distinctive players in the league, and John Morant and Joel Embiid both having big nights. They both had big nights while battling against particularly interesting foes in De'Anthony Melton and Steven Adams. The sort of games within the game that were really compelling. And then the Grizzlies' bench popped up big, which it hasn't a lot this season in the second half. And it was just a really good basketball game.
Well, let's take those battles one after the other. Start with Ja and De'Anthony Melton. How did De'Anthony Melton look?
Melton looked fine, but like when John Morant gets into a groove, like, I mean, good luck, no matter who you are, pretty much. Melton was fine. I mean, he should not be starting and playing the role he is right. Because of the injuries, but he was pretty good. I'm getting the box score around me, 13 points, 6 boards, 4 assists. Morant just got into a groove in the first half. Now, at the end of the night, Morant's stat line right. wasn't as great because he ended up missing a lot of shots in the second half, but when they were still controlling the game. But in the first half, Morant just got into a groove and, like, just really gave Melton the business. And so, with the alley-oop passes and with the trick dribbles and with the three-pointers, and, like, he just had everything working in the first half. And so it was funny, like, Ja's weekend, like, if you could put the first half on Friday night with the second half against Detroit, it'd be like the greatest single game highlight reel in NBA history, just about.
I like some of the things that Ja does. I wonder if, I mean, like, and you ask any great player what they do. Well, it was interesting because you did ask Jaren what he did in a great moment, and he broke it down. We'll get to that in a minute. But usually the answer is, I don't really know. I just react as it unfolds, right? Like, that's normally when you see an athlete and the genius doing something that's genius level, it's like, well, it just unfolded, and I go by instinct or whatever else. You wonder, like, all of those moves with the basketball, are all those things that he has practiced, or is it the old jazz musician,
I don't think you practice some of, like, the reactive dribble stuff that he does. I think he's done it before. He's like doing something before and practicing it.
Right.
I don't think, before the game, he's working on some of
whatever moves
he put on De'Anthony Melton, right? I think it's part of, like, it's a creativity on the fly is what I think that is. That is sort of the jazz musician thing. But I think the distinction that I make, and maybe this is a distinction without a difference or it's just semantics, is the difference between instinct and like high-speed processing, which is the way I put it, you know, in Jaren's thing. And to me, Jaren's answer, and the Jaren answer was about the block shot against Embiid, which happened in like 2 seconds, and it took him like 45 seconds to explain it, like in detail of everything that went into the thought process. Well, Ja had a similar moment as Ricky years when the first win of his career, when he had he found Jay Crowder for the wide open, or found Jay Crowder trailing for the three-pointer to beat Brooklyn after the game. This was before the locker room shut down, you know, during COVID.
Right.
He was asked about that, and he spent like a minute explaining it. And when he explained it, it was clear that if you broke that down and frame by framed it, like he understood what was happening in every frame. But it all happens in a matter of seconds. And it's that, you know, these super elite athletes, it's not just about their physical ability. It's about their ability, you know, whether you want to call it pattern recognition or whatever. It's their ability to process things on the move super quickly and make decisions super quickly. And it happens so quickly, it feels like instinct, but maybe that's just another way of saying that you just process things, like, you know, quicker than most of us can.
So the block, it was Jaren blocking Joel Embiid literally at the rim. And it wasn't as flashy as some send it in the third row blocks that you'll occasionally see. I don't know, though, that I've seen a more impressive block from Jaren, just because it's freaking Joel Embiid at the rim. He took it out of his hand. What did he see?
I felt like the ball was almost in the rim by the time it happened, and so it happened in a way that I think a lot of people, myself included, took a second to process what had happened. Because it wasn't that emphatic, like,
right,
send it back the other way. It was like, wait a minute, did he block that? And yet, sure enough, he did. And, you know, when Jaren asked about it, Jaren talked about how, you know, because he's coming from the weak side or coming from off-ball help, and, like, Steven Adams is guarding him, and is talking about how, you know, how Embiid is going to react depends in part on what Adams does. And he said, you know, if Adams stays in front of him, then maybe he, you know, pump fakes or takes an extra second. But then when he saw him get a step on Steven Adams, he knew he would go straight up, and he knew he was going to gather with two hands, which meant that he was only able to get it at the rim. And he's talking about all the, like, recognizing everything along the way to know, A, whether to try to block the shot, B, when to try to block the shot, and, you know, C, you know, how he was going to attack the rim with it and where he was going to have to go, you know, relative to that. And so it's just, you know, it's the kind of thing, you break it frame by frame, you can say, oh, yeah, exactly, this is what happened. But it's hard to process that in the instant unless, you know, you're a great NBA player,
right?
I guess.
Jaren continues to be excellent.
All across, and that's probably, you know, I'm going to like mess myself up by deciding ahead of time what I'm writing about.
Right.
But I'm, you know, my weekly column is, I'm going to write it today and maybe incorporate tonight's game if need be and have it out tomorrow. And so it won't just be a column about tonight's game. It'll be a weekly column. So hopefully Jaren won't go like 0-for-17 tonight. But I think I'm going to write about Jaren, you know, 8-9 games in, what he looks like. And like, it's pretty much across the board, he's hitting career highs, you know, and just about everything. You know, not 3-point percentage, you know, but pretty much everything else, he's either at or above career highs.
And I'll be honest, I'm surprised it's happening this fast.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that it's still, to me, the thing with Jaren was always, he doesn't need to do things he hasn't already done to be an all-star level player.
Right.
He just needs to do them all at the same time. There are things he still hasn't done that he just may never do, right? Like, his assist numbers are laughably bad so far, but, like, that's fine. Like, you know, he's a defensive-oriented combo big. If you're not going to be a Marcus All Steven Adams passer, like, we'll live with that if you do everything else. And so he's kind of doing just about everything else right now.
It is interesting, back to the processing thing, that you can be a genius processor about blocking a shot, but not a genius processor or even an average processor about passing a basketball. Like, people have different skills, but it is, you are seeing the basketball.
The passing thing is more complicated a little bit because it's, you know, you got to deal with yourself and the ball, whereas with blocking the shot is sort of just yourself, you know,
right.
I think it's probably a little more complicated. in terms of passing. And you got to worry about more than one player. Like, more, you're blocking the guy who has the ball, where he's trying to pass. You're worried about the defense and the guy moving you're passing to. And I think there's more patterns to recognize, I think, in that regard.
All right. You gave Steven, even though Joel Embiid had big numbers, you, but not just you, Taylor Jenkins and his teammates all gave Steven Adams credit for what he was able to do in that win Friday. Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think Adams had a really good game. He got stuff back on the other end, in terms of his own scoring and his passing and what he did offensively. I think he made Embiid work a lot. Embiid was also not as good, he wasn't really taking over the game down the stretch, And I know Embiid had a big game, but he may have had a bigger game if someone else was guarding him. And so I think Adams, Adams faced with playing a great player in a great groove early on, I think did about as well as you could imagine.
Boy, when he sat down, it was all she wrote. Like when Embiid left the game, that was it.
Well, they went on that 22 run late first through early second when Embiid went to the bench. And to me, and that's what gave the Grizzlies control of the game. And at that point, they just sort of, I think they got it down to five at one point, but it never got down to a single possession game after that.
Yeah. All right. And then they take care of Detroit yesterday. That third quarter from Ja, about as good as Ja. I mean, that was spectacular. I think that's the takeaway from that one. That's what you will remember from that one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Pistons are bad, and so you beat a bad team.
Right.
But you beat them on the road. Ja has a big game. And the guys who have been good just keep being good. Like Jaren was good. Dylan was good.
Dylan was good. Another five threes.
The bench not as good in that game, but you didn't need it as much.
Okay. So this week, interesting, because you got the Heat tonight, then you got the Thunder at home Wednesday, and then the Pistons again on Friday. Tell us about the Heat.
The Heat have been struggling a little bit. They were number one in the East. I think it's hard to remember this, but they were actually number one in the East in the regular season last year, and I think they made the conference finals. They're 11-12 right now. They're playing under 500 ball. It seems like if they get everybody healthy, everybody in a groove, they'll be a playoff team, but they just don't seem to have the upside anymore of the top teams in the East. And you look at the age of Kyle Lowry and the wear and tear on Jimmy Butler, and you look at the depth stuff, and I think that team's probably better than its record, but that team is probably not a top 10 team in the league this year, and I don't think it's going to be, but we'll see.
All right, and then finally, we've got the Lakers have been much better. Anthony Davis has been tremendous, 55-17. Yeah. They have won 8 of 10, and they are now up to 10-12. What do you make of the Lakers, and are they a threat to make at least the play-in? I'm heartened by it as someone who doesn't want New Orleans to get a top three pick, I guess.
The Lakers have not reached a level where I think they're going to get up to the area where the Grizzlies are in. We'll see if that changes, but I doubt it. And so at this point, I mean, from a Grizzlies perspective, the most meaningful thing is to try to keep New Orleans from getting a high pick in the draft. And New Orleans had swap rights to the Lakers pick this summer, like unprotected swap rights. So if the Lakers got the number one pick, New Orleans would be able to get that pick. And we really don't want New Orleans getting that pick. And so, let's... the needle we're trying to thread, last year we're trying to thread a needle and it did not work out.
And so
this time the needle we're trying to thread is for the Lakers to be good enough to give New Orleans a bad pick, but not good enough to to make the playoffs. So if they could be a play-in team and finish ninth, just out of the mix, and then give New Orleans the 15th pick or something like that, I think that's what we're going
for. And the only reason you want them to not make the playoffs is your own personal animus towards the Lakers.
Hatred of the Lakers,
Not have anything to do with the Grizzlies. I would be fine if they make the
play-in. Lakers making the playoffs is a little bit better because you eliminate all chances, but I'm trying to thread the needle. I'm looking for bad for the Lakers and bad for the Pelicans.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.